a smartphone to call him. You just need a voice. Say, Lord, here I am. Meet me where I'm at. Show me your will, your way. It's great having all these kids up here. Yeah. Thank you, thank you. Fun. I would say in the sun, but I don't see much sun today. So we're going to go ahead and dismiss kids for children's church. Ages 3 to 5th grade have classes available over in the east wing. Parents, if you can exit your children out the back door into the foyer, take the first left, and then you jump over into the east wing there, and they will meet you there and direct you to the appropriate classes. And please sign them into class, and remember at the end of service to go get your kids. Please, we had 3 left here last week, and we didn't realize it until this morning. Just kidding! Nobody called CPS or any other government agency. It was a joke. For the recording, that was a joke. Hey, laughter is good medicine. We need to laugh more often. I saw an amazing Facebook quote this week. It said, if you can't learn to laugh at yourself, call me. I will laugh at you. Right? We've got to learn laughter is good medicine. Laughter is joyous and fun. We were sitting at a basketball game last night. And my daughter was sitting there with another little girl. And they were just giggling over some dumb game on a phone. I was looking at it trying to figure out what it even was. But they thought it was hilarious. And everyone around us was enjoying it. Do you know that people around you enjoy it when you're laughing? When you're joyful? When you bring the joy of the Lord into a situation? People get to enjoy that. As Christians, sons and daughters of the Lord Most High, we should be that light to the world that brings joy to the atmosphere, that brings joy to the room. Right? People should be excited to see us show up. They should not say, oh, great, Pastor Arby's here. This is not going to be fun at all. They should say, great, he made it. She made it. That's a reflection of Christ. People were excited to see him come. He didn't have to call ahead and say, hey, I'm having a town meeting. They saw him coming across the sea in a boat, and the crowd gathered before he could reach the shoreline. That Jesus is coming. This is awesome. This is amazing. If nothing else, they bring joy and hope to my life. That's what we should be doing to those around us. And I forgot to mention, there is the nursery available also for children 0 to 2 years of age. So if you have kids in that age group, you're welcome to use that. It's behind the window titled Bookstore, so you do have audio and visual there. But as always, your children are welcome to stay right here in service. I often get some really cool artsy drawings from children after service. As I'm speaking, they pick up pieces of my message and draw parts of it. And they give me these awesome pictures afterwards. So it's really cool. So I know some of them are listening. I don't know about the rest of you. So I've not got any pictures. Okay? I know you're listening. I get lots of reports. So we are in our Spirit-Sensitive series, kicking off the new year with our Spirit-Sensitive series, also entering into our first 21 days of the year fasting time, seeking the Lord for His will and direction for the year to come. So if you're not already fasting, jump on board. You can fast anything that is important to you. You can fast social media. You can fast basketball. Your team probably wouldn't appreciate that, but you can do that. You can fast certain foods, certain drinks. You can do time-lapse fast. You can do a total fast, water only for 21 days. But if you're not an experienced faster, I would highly not recommend that one. You can fast one day a week, total 24-hour fast. Whatever you choose to give up to God and spend that time in prayer seeking Him for His will for your life and us as the Life Center and our ministries here in the Clearwater Valley. And also when we fast, it heightens the sensitivity of our spirit. Because we're saying no to the flesh, no to this carnal man and nature, No to my worldly pleasures, and yes to I want more of your spirit. I want more of God in me and less of Arby in me. So it heightens our sensitivity. So as we're talking about spirit sensitive, today, last week we talked about smell. Today we're going to talk about taste. Yummy. It's fun to talk about tasting food when we're in the middle of a fast, right? That's just mean. Taste. What does taste do for us? Taste tells me this is yummy, I should eat more, right? That's not always good theology. But taste allows us to enjoy the pleasures of eating, right? That which we take into our body to energize or fuel our physical system has to pass our taste buds, right? Have you ever put something in your mouth and went, right? You think back to two-year-olds, they'll stick anything in their mouth. Or one-year-olds or younger, right? They'll eat anything. Everything goes in their mouth. But as we grow and develop our taste buds, we find things we like and don't like. My youngest daughter, when she was infant age anyway, he'd give her ice cream and she would go, ugh. She didn't know what it was. She was repelled by ice cream, which was awesome because that was more for me, right? I didn't have to share. But over time, she developed this taste for ice cream. And now she loves ice cream. Now I have to share, which ice cream is something I don't eat a lot of anymore. Because even though my taste buds tell me it's good, my body tells me it's not good. One of the greatest toxic chemicals we place into our bodies day after day is sugar. My taste buds say it good. Right? My body says it's really bad and harmful. Right? Spiritually speaking, we put things into our body, or what would it be in the spirit? Into our soul, our mind, will, and emotions, into our spirit man. We invite things in that, oh, they taste so good on the surface. But underlying, I'm gaining a lot of poundage. When I first started pastoring and quit guiding full time, I didn't change my diet immediately. In 4 months, I gained 40 pounds. Yeah, whoa. My taste buds still said, this tastes really yummy. Right? And finally, one day at work, down at Loving Hands, a gal walked up to me and poked me in the belly. He goes, ooh, you're like a doughboy. I thought, ugh. That's not what I want to be known as. Some of us in our spirit man have taken on that persona. We're just a doughboy. We just eat whatever comes at us, and we just continue eating, whether it's good or not, and we eat it, and we're just blowing up, and we're becoming toxic. So I had to learn, okay, Arby cannot eat a pint of Ben and Jerry's ice cream every night any longer. So now I might eat a pint every other month. Yeah, ooh, it hurts me. Because when I take it in, my tongue says, oh my goodness, this is so yummy. But when I get on the scale, my eyes say, this is not so yummy. Right? And I don't have to be thin enough to get into a pair of skinny jeans. But I do want to be healthy, because my physical man needs to be healthy for me to carry out what the Lord is asking me to do for him in the spiritual. Right? So physically, we put things in our mouths. I was once on a mission trip in Canada. We went to this big mosaic in town. It was in the capital city of Saskatchewan, Regina. And we're going around to all the different booths, and we go to the Scottish booth, and the pastor we're with up there is like, oh my goodness, this haggis is so good, you have to try it. If you ever get the opportunity to try haggis, don't. Don't. It is like, Like, I honestly had to spit it back into the container. Like, couldn't hold it in my mouth or everything was coming up. It was so horrid. So it's this nasty ground-up rice stuff that they cook in the belly of a sheep, ground up with its intestines, and then they serve it to you as a delicacy. It's not. When I was little, I was raised near a sheep farm, and as soon as that stuff hit my mouth, it reminded me of that rancidness of the sheep pens, of that stench of sheep urine and manure mixed together. And it like hit my taste buds and went, bleh. That should be what sin does to us. When sin comes at us in our lives, we should instantly repel it because we are so spirit sensitive that we go, whoa, bleh. Bad stuff, don't touch. But all too often we go, oh, it's Ben and Jerry's. It's so good. Right? We fall prey to temptation all the time. Talking about the greater body, not us here at the Life Center, like other churches, right? None of us have problems or struggles, or am I misreading that? Oh, you guys struggle with sin too? It's not just me? Satan's coming to seek whom he can devour. Seek who he can devour. He wants to devour God's children. To take them out of the game. Okay? But if we enhance our spirit sensitivity, if we can enhance our taste buds in the spirit, which what would that be? It would be our perception. Sometimes we don't see clearly, right? Our perception needs to be that of which God has intended it. So one definition of taste is to perceive, to experience flavor, to have palate, or for perception. Okay? God wants us to have flavor in our life. God wants us to have a good palate to be able to taste and see, is it good or is it not? And He wants us to have His perception on life. Not of our own, but His. And He gives us this incredible manual called the Holy Bible. To guide our perception so we don't get lost in our own. So taste controls that which we ingest. Spiritually and physically, taste or perception controls that which we ingest. And when my perception's off, I don't see clearly anymore, right? So if my perception's off, I'm not clearly seeing that which I'm ingesting. All that we ingest fuels us. Either for the negative or the positive. Right? All that we ingest fuels us for negative or positive. If I choose to eat broccoli for lunch today, it's going to do my body good. If I choose to eat Ben and Jerry's for lunch today, I'm still going to be packing it around next week. Right? What's going to give me the fuel that I need to go forth and do what I'm called to do? Spiritually speaking, what are you ingesting into your system? What are you watching? What are you entertaining your mind with? What are you plugging in here? What are you plugging into your eyes? What are you plugging into your ears? What are you plugging into your spirit, man, that's fueling you spiritually for what God's called you to do? Psalms 34, verse 8. Look at this beautiful color palette. This is what God wants us to experience in the Spirit. God isn't a one-way street. He has a lot available to us. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in Him. The Lord invites us. Taste and see that I'm good. Taste and see. Do you know that He invites us into His presence? All we have to do is move into His presence. He's always there, available, and waiting. And He invites us. If you don't think I'm good, come taste and see. See what I have in store for you. And that doesn't mean life is a bed of roses for the rest of your life because now you know Jesus. But it means even in the bad times of life, you can have joy, you can have peace, you can have comfort. Even though you're in the middle of sorrow and mourning, you can still have those in those moments. Because the Lord is good. Matthew 5, verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. We should have a spiritual appetite that hungers and thirsts for righteousness. And you can get on Google and search what is righteousness, right? No, you should go to the Word of God to see what is righteousness. What does God say is righteousness? Because this world will tell us a whole gamut of things that are righteous or holy or wonderful. And some of them might even taste good, but they're Ben and Jerry's. They're going to affect you poorly, spiritually speaking. But blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. We should be seeking God spiritually for what He has in our lives. Sometimes our taste buds aren't working well. Spiritually speaking, I was once, this has probably been 15 or 20 years ago now, but I was invited to dinner at this house and went there for dinner, and the hostess says, "Oh, do you like milk?" And I'm like, "Oh yes, I love milk." So she pours me this big glass of milk, and I was like really fiending for some milk, I guess. So I take this great big gulp of milk, and I have a mouthful of milk and realize it has gone bad. And I don't want to offend the hostess, but I can't swallow it or I might hurl. I'm trying to decide in my head, and the longer I hold it in the mouth, the worse it tastes. And finally, not to offend, I gulp it down. Ugh. It was terrible. Sometimes we get something in our spirit like, "Oh, this just isn't quite right. But I don't want to offend anyone around, so I'm going to just go with it." And I was sick for a day, just, oh, nauseous. I'm surprised I didn't puke right there. Sometimes in the spirit we do that because we don't want to offend anyone around. So we'll go ahead and go along with the wrong thing. And I didn't drink any more of the milk. Just, I didn't finish my glass, just so you know. But worried about offending people rather than honoring God with what's righteous and what we should be doing. So we just go along with it and deal with the consequences rather than saying, "I'm sorry, but your milk has gone bad or your cow has gone bad. Something's wrong." Rather than calling it what it is, we go along with the wrong deed. And just let it pass our taste buds anyways. And what this does is desensitizes us. And then one time it wasn't so bad. Well, the second time it wasn't so bad. The third time I didn't even notice it was going on. And the fourth time I just, who cares? I'm joining in too. It's like eating that first bite of sugar. And the first one went down really good. Because a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. Mary Poppins taught me that one. I think that's who it was. I get some head shake. Yeah, that's the right one. So if one helps the medicine go down, I should have 22 teaspoons of sugar a day, right? That's the average an American eats every day. 22 teaspoons of sugar. That's a pile. That's not a little bit, that's a pile, it's a mound. Go home, put 22 teaspoons of sugar on your counter. If you're eating pre-processed foods, that's what you're eating every day in raw sugar. It's bad for you. Spiritually speaking, we do the same thing. Well, it's just one area of my life. It's just one place in my life. It's God loves me no matter what. It's all right. He says, "Yeah, I love you no matter what. But that doesn't mean you're in right standing with me no matter what." We've got to ask forgiveness for our sin or wrongdoing. Say, "God, I need you. Forgive me for whatever I've done." And He is faithful and just to forgive if we will call on His name. if we will seek Him and say, Lord, I need You. James 4, verse 7 through 8. James 4, 7 through 8. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. If we would just submit to God, I need to submit my perception to God. Otherwise, my perception is skewed by all of my life experience, all of the wrongs that I've taken in, all of the wrongs that I've done. Even my perception of myself is skewed. If I don't submit it to God, say, here's my taste spiritually. God, I want to see me through your eyes. Who do you say that I am? Because sometimes Arby's story about Arby is not God's story about Arby. It's my story about who I believe I am. And sometimes I've fallen very far short of believing who I am in comparison to who God says I am. And if I believe who He says I am, then I'm all right. But sometimes I believe the lies of other people who they say I am. And this again skews my perception of who I am. But God says, submit to me. Submit yourself to God. Submit your perception to God. Say, God, I want your clear view of who you say I am. I want to know who I am in you. Then resist the devil when those yummy Ben and Jerry treats come out. Resist them. I'm actually sponsored by Ben and Jerry. I get, you know, they pay me, so. Just kidding. At least a couple people laughed. That was nice. But resist the devil when those temptations come. It might look sweet and yummy. It might even be pleasing to eat and pleasant and wonderful. But if it's not righteous according to God's standard, it's not for you. Not for you. Come near to God and He will come near to you. You know you have to draw into God. He's waiting for you. But you have to do your part too and say, I'm coming to you. I'm coming. Right? He does His part, we do our part, we meet in the middle type of deal. Although we go like 10 and He comes 90. Wash your hands, purify your hearts. We should be doing that daily. God, forgive me of my sin, forgive me of my wrongdoing. Purify me, cleanse me once again. Have you ever went out to dinner? On the edge of your plate is this cute little orange and this little green leafy thing. Aren't those pretty? I always tell the waitress, I didn't order that. Just to see them smile. Make them laugh. Do you know why that's really on your plate? It's to cleanse your palate. It's to cleanse your tongue. So when you quit eating one food, you can cleanse it and enjoy the flavor of the next food. Right? Otherwise, your palate just gets so loaded up with flavors, you don't get the full flavor of the next dish being presented to you. God says to wash your hands, cleanse your heart, cleanse your mind, because He has a bunch more flavors for you that He wants you to experience and enjoy in life. And if we don't come before Him and repent, we get all boggled up in all these flavors and it just comes together and it's just food. I'm kind of a food snob personally. I'll admit it. I am. I like my steak done just perfect. I usually cook my own steak at home so it's done right. I'm a coffee snob. I like my coffee done just right. I like just the right amount of foam. I want the syrup put in first with the coffee on top of that, blended well with a spoon. And then the milk steamed to just 138 degrees with just the right amount of foam on top and then poured in and blended together so the flavor comes up in the foam. And the first drink or two should mostly be coffee syrup-infused foam. Right? Wow. Yeah, wow. Of course, I worked in a coffee shop through high school, so I learned how to make a coffee just like I want my coffee. And if you can't make it like that, I'm pretty disappointed when I roll away from the coffee shop. God has just the perfect drink for you and I in the Spirit, ready for us, infused with His love and mercy, infused with His direction and guidance. But we've got to build a palate that recognizes it. It says, God, I'm operating in the ministry you've called me to do. Whether that's being a janitor, whether that's being a mom, a stay-at-home dad, whether that's being a school teacher, whether that's being a mill worker, whether that's being an electrician, whether that's being a pastor, whatever it is, we're all called to different parts of ministry in our society, within our church body, within our homes. But we've got to find that specific cup of coffee that's for us, delivered by God, saying, Arby, I made this just for you, and only you can fulfill it. You're the only one. And if you don't fill your spot, the body of Christ is missing some taste buds, and they can't experience and enjoy all I've called them to, because you won't step into the ministry I've called you to. Some of us sit here tasteless. All we do is hear a message and go home. We're not ministering to anyone during the week. We're not meeting the needs of the people around us. Perhaps not even meeting the needs of the people in our own home. Not leading them spiritually, not directing them, not giving them guidance. The Word of God calls us to go and do and be. We're to add flavor to life. We're supposed to be the salt of the earth. Have you ever eaten something without salt on it? And then added some salt to it? How it changes the flavor? It's a big difference. Flavor is huge. I had this really awesome youth pastor when I was growing up. We came in one night and she had this dish of Oreos set out on the table and was like, nope, can't have the snacks yet. So she goes through the message and does her thing, and we're like looking at this plate of Oreos like, we're going to devour those things. And they were big, thick, double stuffed ones. And finally, at the end of the message, all right, I guess you guys can have some Oreos. So we're like, yeah. She had replaced the yummy, yummy cream filling with toothpaste. And I can eat Oreos really fast, so I was on my second Oreo before my taste buds had time to tell my brain, these are not Oreos. Terrible. How could you do that to kids? You're supposed to love Jesus. Sometimes the devil wraps sin in our lives in these cute, beautiful little packages that look like Oreos. They look tasty and yummy, and they almost look like the real thing. And we start eating them. Sometimes it's too late before we notice. The devil is very sneaky. But if our taste buds are sharpened and tuned to the Spirit of God, if they're controlled, our perception is controlled by what He says is right and wrong. Then we can bypass the toothpaste, Crest, peppermint, Oreos. I don't remember what flavor toothpaste it was, but I know it wasn't Oreo cream. One of these things that I would say our society really wraps up in a pretty package is sex before marriage. It's all over the media. It's all over television programs. It's all over magazines. It's all over. You can't go buy your groceries at any store without seeing a rack of it, right? You just shouldn't look at those racks. You can look at the breath mints next to them, but not those racks. I saw on, I forget where it was. Somebody was giving somebody advice recently anyway. And they're like, well, I really like this guy. What do you think? Should I move in with him? And the response was, well, yeah, you want to try it out before you marry it. That's bad advice. Horrible advice. You won't find that in this manual. Right? This manual calls that fornication, which is a sin, which is against the will of God. But what he does have wrapped up for you is the gift of marriage, and inside of marriage, sex with your spouse, which is a beautiful thing, which is given as a whole Oreo with lots of cream filling, which is amazing to partake of and enjoy. But if we don't look at God's manual and what he says about it, it often looks just like an Oreo. And it looks pleasing to the eye. So I think I'll pick, where did we hear that before? Oh, that's Eve in the garden. Way back when, the first man and woman fell prey to it in the Garden of Eden, when there was no sin in the world. And there was one tree in the whole garden they couldn't eat from, and they still fell for the trick of the devil. That makes me think, well, then how vulnerable am I that lives in a world of sin? So how aware do I need to be to protect myself from the devices, the schemes of the devil against me? I need to be very aware. I need to have very sharp spirit sensitivity. I need to have very heightened senses on my taste buds. And I need to know right here, is it good or is it not? Do I put it in or throw it away? Ooh, that's not good. That's got peppermint crest toothpaste in it. Yuck. Some of you are going to go home and buy Oreos today. I know it. And pull tricks on your kids. Exodus chapter 15. It's way back in the beginning of the book. You got the Israelites being led by Moses out of 400 years of captivity in Egypt. So they've been in bondage a while. They just witnessed the 10 plagues on Egypt that didn't harm them. So they've witnessed the hand of God. He traveled with them through the desert as a pillar of fire by night, a cloud by day. His presence was among them. Of course, we're talking a million plus people traveling in this small band. Right? It's like the whole state of Idaho is heading to Texas on foot. Right? It wasn't that far, although, but you get the picture. So they just come across the Red Sea, just watch all the Egyptians drown in the ocean, or sea rather, right? And they walked through on dry ground. So it was either a miracle that they got through on dry ground, and then God closed the sea up and drowned all these Egyptians, or it was really low water and God drowned the whole Egyptian army in a mud puddle. Either way, it was a miracle, right? I believe the water was deep and wide. So here we go. They're just getting out of the Red Sea, moving on. Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. Who wants to go through a desert for 3 days without finding water? Anyone? And I'm sure they packed their own water along with them, right? So they had just experienced a bunch of miracles of the hand of God. God's with us, yay! And then they get to freedom finally after 400 years, right? And now 3 days in this desert and no water. So now they're faced with a challenge. God will work miracles in your life. And that doesn't mean the rest of the life is gravy. You're still going to face challenges. So let's listen to what they do. When they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. That is why the place is called Marah. So they finally find water after 3 days, and they taste it and go, it's haggis. The Scottish people left this here for us. They can't drink it. So what do you suppose they do? They thank God for all the miracles and that he's going to provide for them anyway. No. Picking up verse 24. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What are we to drink?" They've just witnessed all these miracles for weeks on end. And now they think God can't provide a little fresh water for them. They finally find water after 3 days and begin to grumble and complain. Already their perception is skewed. When just a few days ago, they walked through the Red Sea as God parted the waters. And I think it was a pretty big part because over 1 million people had to get through there. But already they're grumbling and complaining. Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became fit to drink. So what should you do when you come up against a challenge in life? Grumble and complain at your leaders, your friends, your family, your spouse? Or should you cry out to God? What got the result? When Moses cried out to God, God showed him a way, this certain branch of this certain bush to throw in the water, and I will make it drinkable. Therefore, it was drinkable. I want to know if they asked God where water was when they left the sea, or if they just went off on their own like some of us would. Right? They probably just, well, the sea's behind us, the Egyptians are behind us. We got this from here, God, because you know how we are as humans, right? Right? God does something great for us and we take credit for it, and Arby's amazing. Ah! Right? I'm guessing they didn't ask God right away, where's the fresh water? Because as we read on here, there the Lord issued a ruling and instruction for them and put them to the test. He said, if you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in His eyes, if you pay attention to His commands and keep all His decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. So if my perception is clear, I'm doing what the Lord says to do, I'm doing what His Word says to do, I'm doing what He commands and decrees, and following it according to His perception, not my own. Right? You know, we all have different taste buds. And I would make my perfect steak for you, and some of you would go, oh my goodness, this is the best steak ever. And someone would, oh, how could you eat that, Arby? It's still pink in the middle. Right? But in the spirit, we have one taste bud, or should have, and it's God's perception. What does God say is righteous and holy? And listen to this. This is what I believe God had prepared for them all along, but they weren't asking how to get there. Verse 27. Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees, and they camped near the water. I believe all along God had that plan for them, but they weren't asking how to get there. God has great, great things in store for you and I, great blessings, great healings, great miracles, great wonders in store for you and I. But often we don't ask how to get there. Did I give you Philippians 4:8 on the computer? I think I missed that one. That looks like I missed it. That's all right. Philippians 4:8. This is what God says we should think on, and this is what should pass through our taste buds, or what should govern our taste buds. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. If you're going to ingest something spiritually, it should pass through that gamut of is it? Right? If it doesn't fall into that list, we probably shouldn't be taking it in as part of our diet spiritually. Sometimes we wander around life like this. I played in open gym games Friday night basketball. And I was driving home, and I had to run to Cloninger's to get some groceries. I left Cloninger's, and I get about a mile from the store. I'm heading back through town and get over by the high school. I'm driving down the street by the high school. I'm like, man, they really need to fix these street lights. I can't even see the road. And then it dawns on me, I should probably turn my headlights on. Right? That's what it looks like in the spirit when we don't have the proper perception. We're blaming everyone else around us. It can't be me. I'm perfect. Jesus loves me. I'm perfect. And we start pointing fingers, and the blame game comes in. And we go, well, the water's bitter. What we don't realize is that guy's bitter. So everything tastes bitter. Right? Yeah, because it skews our perception. If we're not in alignment with the Word of God, we're not doing what He's called us to do, walking in His righteousness, His holiness, then our perception becomes skewed. But if it's right, we get to taste and see that the Lord is good. We get to taste and see all that He has in store for us is good. And though we may face trials and struggles, situations that I hope none of us ever have to face, but some of us have and do and are, God is still good in those moments. God is still good. So heighten your spiritual sensitivity this week. Think about it spiritually. What are you plugging into your brain? What are you plugging into your mind? What are you allowing your eyes to see? What are you allowing your mouth to taste spiritually? What is powering you or empowering you? What gets you going? Think about it this week. I'm going to pray real quick, close us out, and I'll invite Wayne to come. Father, we thank you, Lord God. God, that you do give us the Holy Spirit, God, to lead, guide, and direct us. And Father, as we go throughout our week, as we continue in fasting and prayer, God, we ask that you would illuminate to us, God, that which we've taken in, God, that which we ingest daily or weekly, God, monthly, that is not of you. God, that we would be made aware of it, God, that we would repent, God, of any wrongdoing, of any wrong thoughts or actions or words spoken, God, that we would come to you for forgiveness, God. God, that we could be made right before you. Father, we thank you for this. And God, I ask your blessing upon those gathered here today. God, that you would protect them. God, that you would meet them where they're at. God, with your love, your kindness, and your grace. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Wayne.